Amen. So to be truly blessed, to be truly happy, we need to walk in His way. Hallelujah. Our brother Jeffrey mentioned that today would have been our brother Jack Chow's 90th birthday. And I believe it was 5 years ago, we sang happy birthday to him from this room on a FaceTime call. And we dialed him, and he was surprised. We tried to make it a surprise for him. But this past year, he went home to be with the Lord along with his dear wife, just 6 days apart, at the end of January and then at the beginning of February. And I know that many of you know this, but I'm just saying that because I haven't had the opportunity publicly to really express my thanks to the Lord for the blessing that Brother Jack was to me personally, to our family, and then also to the camp family, and the retreats that were held here, and how people were blessed, and meeting the Lord, giving that opportunity to drink at the springs of living water, to drink at the fountain. Personally, my first remembrance of Brother Chow was in Nonantum. I think maybe some of you have heard this story, but I'll say it again anyway, briefly. He had brought a group of men from his church in Maryland to the Labor Day retreat. And in those days, it was very full. We would have maybe 200, 220 people. I mean, all the way back to that wall, there were chairs and people. And I don't know how it happened, but maybe they had registered a little later than others, but they ended up in Nonantum. And I felt so bad because I was supposed to welcome them and make them comfortable in Nonantum. So here I am bringing out a basin. I bring them out a basin and say, here's your water basin. Here's where you get the water to wash. And you know how maybe a little primitive it is in Nonantum. But Brother Jack got to stay in the head counselor, or in the counselor's cabin, along with myself, and that was interesting because I said, Brother Jack, I just got a little bit of a cold, and that was all I had to say. He's praying for me already. Lord, come to him, touch him, heal him. Instant. And that was my first recollection, and then over the years, just blessed by his ministry here at the camp, as I mentioned, during retreats. And then when my dad passed away in 2018, we were sitting in Ridgewood at the service, and as I look up, the door opens in the back, and John, my dear brother John, walks in with his father. I hadn't asked them to come. I knew he was in Texas. Didn't expect them at all. But there he was. And I said, why did you come? I mean, not, you know, when we were in private. I said, why did you come, Brother Jack? He said, the Lord made me know I had to come. I had to be with you. So that meant a lot to me. And he was with us then again on Sunday morning, and he spoke so beautifully. I don't know if anyone else could have spoken on John 15 the way that he did, because that was one of my dad's favorite passages, and the way he lived and preached, abiding in the vine. And Brother Jack picked that up, and he just spoke so simply and beautifully, and it just, again, it was right from the Lord to our hearts. So I'm thankful. And tonight I just asked our brother John if he would just give us a little testimony, just to remember our brother Jack. We want to honor, again, God's grace in him. And we are thankful. Come, Brother John.
Lord, thank you for this time of just remembering my dad and my mom, of course. I think one of my sisters would like to say something as well. Thank you for your patience. I do remember when we heard that Brother Gordon had passed away, usually my dad makes, you know, I guess slower decisions. He'll take his time a little bit. But in this case, I was a little surprised because he immediately knew that we should come and that, you know, if I could kind of come with him, I was happy to do that. And I'm just trying to remember a little bit just about his past. He's mentioned many times to me in Dallas. He moved to Dallas maybe 20 years ago after he retired from Maryland, the church in Maryland. And the whole family asked, why Texas? Why Dallas? You know, he never like really gave us a clear answer. And we just had to see that the ministry and how it came to be what it is today. He was a voice, and I believe that God used him to emphasize this message of the inner life to the Chinese people. He was totally bilingual. He was orphaned at the age of 11, I believe. Worked as a bellboy in a hotel, supporting himself. He met an American journalist covering the Revolutionary War. And he learned, he couldn't afford to go to school. He learned English on his own, basically, to the extent that he was able to get a job as a journalist. And the Lord brought him from China in 1949, when there was a big exodus to Taiwan. And he was able to get a job, met my mom, who was also in radio broadcast. You never know it because she rarely talked. But they were really unified and served the Lord as one. One did all the talking. I'm sure my mom talked behind closed doors. But, you know, I just trying to think of him in that sense. He later became... He was a translator for, I believe, President Ford at one point. So he worked in the White House. He covered the UN as a journalist for a Taiwan newspaper. I've met a lot of people who didn't, Chinese students from Taiwan when I was in college, who would tell me, oh, yeah, well, you know, when we're in school, we study your dad's articles. He used a pen name, so that was pretty impressive. So, you know, I guess I grew up under a large shadow as well. But, you know, I think we understand and we appreciate. I guess more and more I've been thinking about just the word inheritance. I was reading in Psalm 16 that God is our inheritance. And then just things flow through my mind that, you know, my dad didn't give us inheritance in the worldly sense. But he certainly gave us a rich inheritance in the Lord. And our family is very kind of blessed to really know that. He's also mentioned he often to me while I was in Dallas, I was with him for the last 7 years, that he said, you know, John, you know, our fellowship here is under the same stream, the same flow that came from Ridgewood and other fellowship related to Ridgewood. As you know, he started his kind of his association with Ridgewood with knowing Sister Pearl Young, and he was a translator for Brother Hans, and that was the pivotal point of his walk with the Lord and his ministry, and he started the church in Maryland, and then he eventually, the Lord called him very clearly. I remember he mentioned he was driving to work one day, and the Lord clearly came to him and spoke to him, and he knew that it was a full-time calling, and he quit his job at Voice of America. With I mean, there were seven of us, so I think maybe four or five were still living at home, and a few of us in college. And he gave up his full-time job and lived the ministry by faith. And one thing I remember is that he prayed. I was a professional student, so I was in college for a very long time. But then two of my younger sisters had not gone to college yet as well. So he trusted the Lord, Lord, to take care of us in terms of our college provisions. And actually, it was the three of us. Actually, it was Susanna, Martha, and myself. And the Lord blessed us with good schooling opportunities. I've always learned that because if you honor the Lord, He will honor you. And so we believe in our family. I will testify that the Lord took our parents because it was the right time. It didn't have anything to do. Yes, it was other circumstances, but it was the timing and the way in which they went to be with the Lord. The Lord spoke to my dad. I remember in maybe the seventh or eighth year of the Chinese conference, he said clearly, God told me that he asked God, how long would the Chinese conference last? The Lord told him 10 years. He thought it would be 10 years of Chinese conference, but after the ninth year, it was the 10th year that the Lord took him. And my mom and dad always prayed that they would go to the Lord together. And so I believe that that was also a given blessing that they were 6 days apart, I believe, in actual day of their passing. We were able to bury them together. We recently, just before we came up, we had a small family reunion and be at the gravesite just to remember him. We knew that his birthday was coming up. I just want to close with a verse that we put on the tombstone, the plaque, and it's from Colossians 1:27. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a verse that I'm thinking, we're all familiar with, but it truly is a verse that defines their ministry. And Paul was speaking in this in terms of the context of ministry. And I thought our family thought it would be appropriate. But their message was about, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The inner life, living, as I've read in the beginning. Sorry, it's happened to be here. One of the 4 points. Holiness must be first an inward work of the Spirit of God that manifests itself in Christ's likeness and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. An inward work. I mean, this kind of, there are many ways to define or try to define the inner life ministry. Well, this is one of them. It's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I just thank the Lord that He had a chance to really, connect with Pilgrim Camp the last 10 years. And I was blessed to be able to just be here to help out and do what I can. So thank the Lord for the privilege of being part of this. Amen.
I failed to mention, I asked John, what was the song that your dad would sing or your dad and mom would sing, and he said it has to be Trust and Obey. So that's why we sang Trust and Obey. Which sister is Susanna? Come, Susanna. You want to come up here, please?
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you all. Mine won't be as long as John's, but thank you. My father stayed with my husband and I for the week before he passed away. And then on Thursday, His breathing became very difficult, and he asked me not to go to the hospital until it was necessary. So Thursday, I knelt next to his bed, and I said, "Daddy, your breathing is very difficult. I think it's time to go to the hospital. Would you let me send you to the emergency room?" And he said, "Yes." So I called 911, and they came to get him, and Martha was on her way. She was down helping to take care of my mother at Esther's. So she drove as quickly as she could to come to my place. And she was able to see Dad in the ambulance. And, she reminded him that all of his children loved him. And she gave him a few verses. And so he was in the emergency room overnight. The next morning, I got a call from the emergency room physician who said he was settled. And he got a bed early the next morning, and that was Friday. And the doctor from the floor called me and said, she was Chinese, actually. So he was able to speak Chinese to her, and he wanted treatment, but I had determined spoke with my parents many years ago about their end-of-life wishes, what they wanted. And of course, they didn't want to be intubated or be on a ventilator. So I had to honor those wishes. And I spoke with the doctor and I said, give him whatever he wants, as long as it's not intubation or ventilator, ventilator support. And so he was on an IV, and he received some of the medications they were using at that time to treat COVID. And the next morning, Saturday morning, which is January 30th, no, I'm sorry, it was Friday, January 29th, and the doctor called me and said, the next step is intubation. He's not doing very well. And I said, no intubation. So I made the decision to put him in in-hospital hospice, which means comfort care, which allows him to pass away peacefully. He did suffer a bit that day, but I went in to sign the papers, and they were very kind, and I was able to see him right after I signed the papers. And I went to his room. I only had 30 minutes with him, and I remember walking into the room and just kind of looking around the room, and he looked like he was being well taken care of. It was a private room, and I sat on a little sofa by the window and just sort of watched my father for a while, and I was praying, and then a bright light shone through the window into the room, and I knew that that was God. And so I went over, and God gave me three things. He had many favorite hymns. So God gave me three things. One was one of his favorite hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the others were Numbers 6, 24 through 26, and Proverbs 4, 18. So I was able to go and sit on his bed and held his hand in my hand. And I said, "Daddy, I love you." And I sang him the first verse and the chorus, and I'll read it to you. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And then, let me just pull it up. So, and then I read him Numbers, from what I could remember. Number 6, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Then let me find the other one. And the other verse, the third thing that the Lord gave me, was Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. And I have to tell you, Jeffrey, your dad gave me that verse for my birthday one year. So I was very surprised when I got that verse from the Lord. But I knew then that God was taking him, and I knew that that it was God's presence that filled the room before I left, and I believe that that was a gift from the Lord to me to pass on to my siblings. And then the next morning, I received a call, and he had passed away. He was on morphine that night. And he passed away the next morning. The time on his death certificate was 6:50 a.m. And, of course, then I went to help Esther take care of Mom, and Mom passed away 6 days later. And I looked at the clock, and it was 6:50 a.m., the exact same time, 6 days apart. And I was also blessed. The same thing happened with my mother. She was talking. She stopped talking about 3 days before she passed away. But one of her first questions to me was, "Do you think Daddy will recognize me in heaven?" And I said, "Mom, you've got to be kidding. He's going to be looking for you." And then all of a sudden, a bright light shone on her face, and her face became very radiant. And I believed at that moment that she saw a vision of heaven. And my father saying, "Come. Come, Mama, come. It's going to be okay." So the light went away, and I told my mother, I said, "It's okay for you to go. We're all grown now. We can take care of ourselves." And then 3 days later, she did. She went to be with my father. So I believe that those were definitely gifts from the Lord. Blessings for us to know that his hand was in there going to be with him in heaven. And, you know, today I woke up and it was my father's birthday, and I thought I would be sad. But instead, I had joy in my heart because I knew that he was with the Lord.
Hallelujah. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I'd like to sing together, "Christ liveth in me." Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ lives in me. But before we do that, I would like us to pray for the family. Quite a few are here. Martha is the other daughter, and she's here with Bill and the family and the children. And we're very happy that they can serve God with us. And Lord Jesus, I just want to pray for each one in this family who have such a godly heritage. Lord, I know that it's not something that just gets passed down, but something that we need to enter into ourselves. And so I pray that you would give each one of them that grace to seek you and to find you. That you would cause them to experience your glory and your love in a very personal way. Lord, I pray that you would take of your Spirit and put it upon them, that they too can serve you, and that their lives would testify that Christ lives and lives in them. We pray for the ministry that our brother left behind. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would work in your will and in your way to carry that forward, that many would continue to be blessed. That the blessing that the life of God, that the rivers of living water would continue to flow. So I ask this again, that you would be glorified. We thank you for these lives that were lived before us, testimonies of the faithfulness of our God. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.